Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Anna Carmo at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, how to make a difference as a female local journalist in South Sudan, and the benefits of having women working in science. But first, an all-female UN police unit from India is leaving Liberia on Sunday after 9 years of helping to stabilize the country. It was the first force of its kind in the history of United Nations peacekeeping operations. A bloody civil war in the country that began in late 1989 claimed the lives of over 150,000 people, mostly civilians. Daniel Dickinson has the story.
103 police officers from India have been packing their bags and are returning home after a year of service in Liberia in West Africa. Since 2007, there have been 9 rotations of these units from India. During a medal ceremony in honour of the female officers, UN Police Advisor Stefan Feller praised them for their sacrifices, not only during the war, but also during the recent health emergency caused by the Ebola virus.
You have come here, leaving behind your families, your loved ones, in order to offer your services for a nation that's too far away from your country. That is the highest manifestation of your humanism. The additional element of your pride is that you came at a time when many people, including some Liberians, were leaving the country. There was a major threat of spread of a disease.
A UN Security Council resolution recognizing that armed conflicts often affect women and girls more severely called for an increase in the number of women in peace missions. But the responsibility to recruit women at the country level lies with member states. Claire Hutchinson is a gender advisor for the UN Department of Peacekeeping Operations.
Deploying women into an area that wouldn't necessarily be seen as a female area is opening the doors for a lot of women. And we know from the results of having women in peacekeeping that they engage with the community in a very different way and that they are seen as role modelling in terms of the community.
So far, the UN has helped train over 555 police women in 5 countries. The tour of duty for these Indian officers at the medal ceremony is over. Women from other countries will no doubt follow in their footsteps in other UN missions. Daniel Dickinson, United Nations.
A South Sudanese female journalist has explained how her reporting helped free a woman wrongfully imprisoned for a crime committed by her own son. When Angelina Gadier aired the story on her local station, human rights teams acted to free the falsely imprisoned woman. South Sudan has endured 2 years of violent civil war, which makes the work of journalists very challenging, especially for the few female journalists in the country. Internews is a media non-profit which built some of the first community radio stations there and trains journalists to provide community news. Nigel Ballard, director of community radio for Internews in South Sudan, asked Angelina Gadier to explain how the false imprisonment story evolved.
In the year 2013, I did a coverage on a certain article that a woman was jailed because her son killed somebody. Traditional belief, they believe like if your son or your child did a problem or did a murder issues, if the child has escaped the area, they consider that they will still jail the relatives. And then all in all, a lactating mother was detained. That lactating mother was detained because her son killed somebody. I went and I even visited the woman who was jailed, and I also get a chance to interview her, and she explained. I drafted my article. After it was heard, immediately the human rights team came and they released the woman.
Who were the human rights team? They heard you on the radio, yeah?
Yes, they heard me on the radio. I was broadcasting the article in the county level. Actually, the human rights team came from UNMISS, based in Bentiu.
As a journalist in South Sudan, what do you do to ensure that your reporting is accurate and objective?
Yeah, as a reporter in South Sudan, whenever I'm covering a certain story, whether it is too sensitive, or a soft article, I have to make sure that my story is well balanced and from the right source of the information.
What problems do you face?
Once I report on something on a certain article, I begin to be nervous because I might think of whenever I'm hearing this article outside, many people or the population, the entire population might be entitled to access the information through the radio. Although it is my duty to give the information, but it will left me nervous. I will be like, if this article is being heard, and then they might end up following me up and to find where I live.
When the fighting came to your town, you had to flee, yeah, with your colleagues.
Yeah.
Can you explain what happened and how this affected your passion for journalism?
It forced me to travel to the highlands, asking people, where are you going? If they don't want to tell me the direction, I just follow them. Because I believe where they are running, if I go with them, since they are my community, I will still be safe like them. I ran to the highlands. I was the only one lady among my colleagues. The rest were male journalists. I was the only female journalist. And I didn't give up. I spent like almost 3 months in the bush, just surviving from the fish. That is where I also started teaching myself how to catch a fish from the river. After 3 months, after I saw the life was really not that fair. Being a journalist, actually, I felt like it is making my life really difficult, that I cannot be with my parents at the time of crisis. I can also be the most wanted. I ask myself, why am I the only female journalist in my place?
There are very few women journalists in South Sudan.
Maybe they are fearing. South Sudan is not that much safe, and journalists are not safe.
When women are given career opportunities in maths and science fields, everyone benefits. That's according to some of those attending the first International Day of Women and Girls in Science, held recently at UN headquarters in New York. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, also known as STEM, have in many countries traditionally been dominated by men. The UN is hoping that will change. Janie Cangelosi has been speaking with U.S. high school students Liz Makoff and Caitlin McQuaid, as well as Professor Maureen Roller from Adelphi University. She began by asking Caitlin McQuaid why it's important for women and girls to get into science.
We just need equality of genders. I mean, we should not have more men in science or any STEM projects that we have women, because we should have equality across the board and everything.
In the past, many moons ago, it was discouraged for women to go into math and science, and we know women aren't just as capable as men. So we want to make sure that women know that they can achieve in all areas.
Because women and men have equal academic skills, but women often lack opportunity to get into them, and we'd probably be a lot further along if we historically let women have the same opportunities for STEM stuff. Like, for every Isaac Newton, there could be an Isa Newton.
And why do you think this is still an issue in 2016?
Unfortunately, it's still an issue, actually. It has been getting a lot better, but we still have a lot of prejudice against women in the workplace, and men think that, well, not all men, but of course, but our society has made men seem to be like the working gender and women to be the staying-at-home gender, but actually there's equality. Gender does not determine your knowledge in science or technology or anything.
Because the idea that women are like the... used to be the idea that women are property. Like, it's, some people still think that if you're not stay at home, then you don't really have a choice about what you want to do. Women need to be empowered enough to be able to make those choices and feel safe in doing so.
I think there's a prejudice. And I think the more women that go into medicine and science, the less of a prejudice it will be. And just having women in these areas are going to change the whole perception of it as time goes on.
What kind of progress do you think still needs to be made?
We still actually still have a lot. We have a long ways to go. We still need to have more women in job. Actually, most CEOs still tend to be men, like across the board in like any field. And we still need to have more women in science and everything. Yeah.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Carmo.